Hey everyone, it's Carmita, and welcome to Missing in the PNW. Hey guys, I am back. It's been a while, and I apologize. The last episodes that I put out, they were delayed. They're supposed to come out one right after the other, so I apologize for that. Gosh, that was end of March, so yeah, it's been a while since I talked to you guys. I've been super busy. With a lot of things. I finished spring semester, my English class that I had all semester. Oh my gosh, it like really, really kicked my butt. But I passed that class with a B, so that's good. I'm in summer semester now, but things are a lot more calmer because I'm taking less classes. I had my ear surgery, so I'm not deaf in my left ear anymore now. What else has happened? Oh, the podcast network, that I'm creating with my, homie and co-host, co-founder, Zeke. It's up and running. I mean, we're still, you know, it's a work in progress and we're still going through things. Still trying to build on everything, via Northwest Podcast Network, and our co-hosting show that we made together. It's called BS in the Northwest. There is a Facebook page for that now, so go ahead and look up that and go ahead and like and subscribe to that. I'm still getting that on all the other major platforms. I know it's on like Spotify and some other podcast apps, but I'm still waiting on like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, stuff like that. So check that out. There's 3 episodes out, 3 or 4. The first one was like really bad. We had so many technical difficulties, so we called that episode 0. So episode 3 just came out back on May 1st. It's a every 2 weeks we drop a new episode, usually on Mondays. You guys know these episodes here come out Wednesdays. So yeah, go ahead and check that out. I'll link the Facebook page in the show notes for you guys. So before we get into today's case, I have to address something. If you guys remember back in, oh gosh, October, November, December, I did a episode on Kit Mora, and then I had talked to two of their sisters and did interviews and episodes on. Well, I wanted to address this because I've been still talking with the family and working with them, and we're trying to figure out a search. We're trying to figure out like what we can and can't do. There's just a lot of moving pieces, and Kit would have turned 18 years old last month. So the thing that I want to address is, you guys know that I come on and I try to give you straight facts. Like, of course we're gonna have speculations, of course we're gonna have theories, and that's okay, but make sure everything is based off of what you know and what you can prove, and it's all facts. You guys know I don't like to really speculate. There's been a lot of people, and it's nobody from, as far as I know, it's nobody, you know, who listens to this show and is this audience. So I'm not trying to call anybody out, but there's a lot of people who kind of went in and started talking about Kit's case and just tried to do too much. Like, they were just being hella extra, trying to get like lie detector tests, talking about bringing in psychics, and then the psychics will jump on and they'll start saying this and this, which is totally opposite of what the family believes. It's just really, really annoying, and it's really disheartening and sad because I feel like people start doing this shit for entertainment rather than actually trying to help the family find the missing person. So again, just be mindful when you guys are posting stuff or commenting on stuff. It's, you know, I always talk about how people don't understand what the family goes through. They just, you know, they see the missing person, but it's way bigger than that missing person. So I just wanted to point that out. All right, so getting into today's case, we are going to discuss the case of Katia Marie Lynn. Now, Katia has been missing since March 21st, 1997, from Federal Way, Washington. And yes, we have talked about Federal Way before. For anybody that is not familiar, it's about 2.5 hours north of Portland, and it's in between the Puget Sound and Green River Valley. So you guys know I talk about that a lot because the Puget Sound and the access to water, it being not that far from the Canadian border, it's a huge spot for missing people, trafficking, stuff like that, that you can just, you know, easily escape on the water and go pretty much wherever. It's such a bad area, guys. It's Seattle and Tacoma are really nice places, but the certain areas is just bad. But I guess that's everywhere because there's bad places too in parts of Portland. So at the time of her disappearance, Katia was living with her father, Pat, and she went to Auburn High School, but she wasn't doing so good in school. She had bad grades and was missing class. Her father had wanted her to transfer to Federal Way High School, but she didn't want to, and they actually had an argument about this. That night, after the argument, she left her house around 9 p.m. and did not return home. On March 23rd, 1997, her father reported her missing. She did not take any personal items or identification with her, and she's never been seen again. So here is where I'm going to go into another little rant, because just with that information right there, what do you guys think the cops did? Automatically labeled her as a runaway. When in fact, there are so many things that actually point in a different direction. So again, guys, what do we talk about? I wish the cops and people would stop marking these people as runaways, because it jeopardizes the case so much. They don't take it as serious. You guys know those first 48 hours are so important. And it's just, I mean, she was another Hispanic kid that went missing. Like, they think she ran away. I just hate these kind of cases where I see that, because it's like, no, like, treat everybody like they're missing, not that they ran away. It's so annoying. Sadly, Katia's father was actually found dead from an apparent suicide 4 days after her disappearance. He was reportedly upset because he was unemployed and had gone through a really rough divorce. I believe he was married for like 27 years. So yeah, it's a long time to be married and then have a divorce. In an article from the Seattle Times, Katia's sister Tracy described Katia as a little reserved, but once you got to know her, she had a wicked sense of humor. The family also believes that Pat had actually tried to commit suicide 3 weeks before Katia's disappearance. He drove head-on into a semi-truck. He actually wasn't badly injured, and they checked him out at the hospital, and he was able to walk out fine. So somebody was looking over him that day. This is kind of where, I mean, I guess it's the late 90s, but I thought it was a little weird because it was reported that right before Katia disappeared, she actually worked as a professional model. And she was only 15 at the time. Like, I guess it wouldn't be so weird now, back in the 90s maybe. I know at like 15, 16, 17, I modeled and did pageants. I didn't do it professionally, but it's just something that I like to do. So being, you know, that she was making money at 15, being a model, like, I think it's cool, but it's kind of weird still. But again, this is the 90s. She was known to be in either the Federal Way area, Seattle, or Puyallup. Puyallup. Nobody ever says that name wrong. Anyways, Katia was born in El Salvador and adopted by her parents when she was just 3 months old. She was 15 years old at the time of her disappearance, and she is described as a Hispanic female, 5'3", 125 pounds, with brown eyes and brown hair. However, she did love to color her hair all kinds of different colors. I've seen pictures of her with brown hair. There's mention of like having red hair, purple hair, black with like purple, like highlights where it almost looks purple. She did a lot with her hair. I'm kind of wondering now if that was because of her modeling job. So I have to back up real quick and actually address something else. So I told you that she was born in El Salvador. And when I described her, I described her as a Hispanic female. I had a friend the other day who, you know, she was like, she's Mexican. She said something and she was like, she's Mexican. And I'm like, she's not just Mexican. She was actually talking about my daughter, one of my daughters. I'm like, she's not just Mexican. Like, she's Mexican. She's Dominican. She's Native. She's Black. Like, she's all mixed. She's Afro-Latina. The reason that I bring this up is because, guys, seriously, please do not call any other people from different countries Mexican if they're not from or was born in Mexico. Even if they had, like, if they had ancestor there, like me, I get that. But from experience, and I don't want y'all to get yelled at, you don't call someone from another country Mexican. She is from El Salvador, so she's Salvadorian. Anyone from Honduras would be Honduran, Colombian. You guys get the gist. So just, again, for sake of, you know, out of respect, she's Hispanic. She was Salvadorian. So don't, when you hear Hispanic, don't assume it's Mexican, is what I'm trying to say, basically. So back to the description. Katia has a mole above the right corner of her mouth, 3 dots tattooed on her left hand, and the letter K tattooed on her right ankle. She also has her nose pierced. If found today, she would be 41 years old. I did cross check like normal, and she is in Namus. And then I'm actually going to post a series of pictures. There's her when she went missing. There's like an age progression from 2011 that they did. And then there's an age progression that they did just last year, 2022. So different pics of her black and white photo I have. So I'll post all of that in there. And again, you can remain anonymous. I will never stop saying that. But you can remain anonymous. So if you have any information on the disappearance of Katia Lynn, please contact the Federal Way Police Department at 253-661-4600. So with that being said, guys, you know, I have all these projects. I have school, I have work, I have the kids. I'm going to really try to get this show back on a weekly basis. Just because I do my other podcast with my co-host every other week. So, I mean, I'm back. That's really what I want to say is I'm back. I thank you guys so much for all your patience. Thanks for, you know, supporting me and everything I do. I believe the Cash App is on the notes. I believe that's in the show notes. If you guys want to support. Oh, and actually, guys, tell me if I sound different or if I sound better because I finally got my new mic. So I'm hoping that the sound quality is way better. And, you know, just let me know what you think. If it sucks, tell me it sucks. Anyways, so Wednesday the 10th is when this episode's coming out. So I will talk to you guys again next week. And remember, have fun, but be safe.